of February. This meeting of the House Committee on Community and Regional Affairs is called to order. Present are Representatives Wallace, Maru, and Phillips. Is judiciary still going on or something?
No.
Where are they?
Number six.
Number six.
No.
Everybody knows where Neil was, right?
Okay, well, we do have a quorum. Today before us, I asked about Neil, because of course he's a co-sponsor of this bill, by Representative Cato, prime sponsor, House Bill 514, an act relating to fire prevention activities and providing for an effective date. The sponsor is with us, and the floor is yours, ma'am.
Thank you, Representative Gall. Pleasure to be in front of the committee. Feel rather good, and as much as I sit on two committees with two of you, I see the rest of you frequently. My interest is, over the years, has been in fire departments, fire safety, various things like that for one long time, and it became apparent to me that a bill of this sort needed to be introduced. So consequently, I did introduce it, and Representative Coburn signed on as a co-sponsor. Actually, what the bill does is, and I'm not going to go into this very thoroughly, because we have here a representative from the Fire Marshal's Office who I can assure you is really sharply acquainted with the bill and knows all the answers. But it puts the registered fire departments on the same footing as municipal fire departments and affords them the same immunity from liability. That's like your volunteer fire department goes out to put out a fire, then they're immune the same as one of your paid fire department people would be, which is a very recognizable point. It recognizes volunteer fire departments that serve outside of municipalities. Those of us in rural areas have this happen to us a lot. In fact, if you only have three municipalities and quite a few villages in your district, then you have a lot of volunteer fire departments. And some of your municipalities are half volunteer, half paid fire departments. It allows them to lawfully the authority to carry out fire prevention duties. It raises it to a Class B misdemeanor for refusing to obey a fire department officer, and reduces the jail time to no more than 90 days. One thing that this bill does do that I'm interested in is that our Fire Marshal's Office is very heavily overloaded with inspections, various things like that. The high risk, high density inspections take a great deal of their time, and in this bill then it would allow the registered fire departments or the municipal fire departments to inspect certain types of buildings. And that gives them the authority then to do so. This takes quite a bit of the load off the fire marshal's back, so to speak. That's about all I'm going to say about the bill, except that it is straightforward. It's something that's very needed. I think that now, if it's all right with you, I'll defer to Gordon Brunton of the Department of Public Safety, Fire Marshal's Office, to answer your questions on the bill. And thank you very much for allowing me to come before you.
Thank you very much, Representative Cato. We will certainly do as you wish and defer to the next witness for his comments and then follow-up questions. And if you would like to join us at the table, you're more than welcome to do so, of course. Go right ahead, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Gordon Brunton, Deputy State Fire Marshal, representing the Department of Public Safety. As Representative Cato stated, House Bill 514 cleans up some of Title 18, Chapter 70 language to afford the immunity protection and provide the authority to registered fire departments that are outside of municipalities. They're commonly termed registered, so this incorporates that terminology into those statutes. The section on the criminal penalties for failure to obey a fire department officer merely brings that current section of the statute into line with the criminal code. The substantive section of the bill is in Section 3, which narrows the scope of buildings which are subject to inspection by the Department of Public Safety. In the almost 14 years that I've been with the division, we have had three separate legislative audits, each one of which pointed out that we were failing to meet our statutory obligation to inspect. Based upon the last one, we by policy narrowed the scope of our inspections to what we term high-risk facilities, feeling that the buildings with lesser amounts of people could be inspected much more reasonably by local inspection authorities and allow us to try and keep up a roughly annual frequency of those. The other portion of that section provides a new area which was impressed upon us by an ombudsman's report that we did not have absolute statutory authority to charge fees for plan reviews. However, the ombudsman felt that while that was inferred in our statutes, it would be better spelled out specifically. So that's what 1870.080B is. Finally, in 0.2, we repeal that because we feel that the current 095 and our regulations and the Uniform Building Code, which we adopt by regulations, provides an adequate measure of protection in remote camps, such as canneries, mining camps, and so forth, and that the legislation there is, or the current statute is not necessary. I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Members of the committee have questions. Mr. Phillips, then Mr. Moritz.
You said 095 covers
the
repealing. Section 6. First of all, I wave a red flag on that fire protection alarm requirements for remote housing facilities. You said something about 095 covering. Is that in the regulations or is that the statute?
1870.095 is in the statute.
Satisfied with that?
That's smoke detectors.
Smoke detectors for dwellings.
This has fire alarm, fire detection, alarm requirements.
Yes, sir. In our regulations, 13 AAC 50.030, we spell out the requirements for the various types of occupancies and the types of fire detection alarm systems they're required to have. That authority, of course, springs from 1870.010, and I don't have the statutes with me, but the section which allows the department to write the regulation.
I just think I still have a problem on this because, okay, smoke detection devices, smoke detection, this is 095. And it says here, all living units built, manufactured, or sold in the state. Now, what's to prevent somebody from barging something up here when it's not built, manufactured, or sold in the state?
That particular statute, 095, is...
You see what I'm getting at?
Yes, I see what you're getting at.
Just so I see what you're getting, you're saying that if a contractor brings it up from down south and installs it?
Mr. Chairman, we had a multitude of that during the mid-70s while the pipeline was being constructed, and all of the camps had the required detection alarm facilities.
Well, under what statute?
082.
Did you
enforce
that? No,
they were under 095.
Be that as it may, under what interpretation of that statute was that enforced? If I understand what he's saying that this will not cover out-of-state contractors who, you know, where the sale is for tax purposes has taken place in Washington and then the equipment is brought up to Alaska and installed. It doesn't say installed, it says those three things.
Okay.
Does that ever...
Under the section of our statutes which provides for our writing regulations.
095.
No.
082.
I'm not sure, I don't have it in front of me. I can't look exactly, but we have written into our regulations a provision that prior to construction of any occupancy, plans and specifications shall be submitted to our office.
So Randy,
you
say it's covered in the red and no one's ever challenged them in court.
Yeah, but if you get rid of 082 and if the regs were under 082 and you get rid of the statutes, the regs are gone.
Okay.
Right?
You know, the regs are under the section of the
095?
Mm-hmm. No, an earlier section in there, I believe it's around 040.
But I just want to make sure we're, you know, part of our function is the public safety and health.
May I join you over here so I can kind of look over your shoulder?
No, go for it.
Our department shall adopt rules and regulations. 080. Adopt rules and regulations for the purpose of protecting life and property, specify minimum standards for fire detection suppression, fire and life safety criteria, all the following types of construction. And so that is what we wrote our regulations under and enforce the detection and alarm requirements.
And you feel satisfied that we can cover the remote?
We feel those are comprehensive enough to cover anything, yes, sir.
Further questions?
Yeah.
Mr. Murray? Reading through this bill here, it starts out, in my opinion, really great. It starts putting a registered, I guess it's going to become a new buzzword, registered fire departments used to be volunteer fire departments, on more or less an equal footing with municipal fire departments with regard to protecting the members of it. Sections 1 and sections 2 seem to be just fine. Then we get into section 3, page 3. Section 3 extends substantially, I would say greatly, the amount of the economy over which the state is going to require plan checks, or whatever that is, like fire and life safety plan checks. And then in section 4, we say that you can adopt reasonable fees. And then section 5 further extends more enforcement, or authority for enforcement of the preceding provisions. And reasonable fees doesn't sound so bad if it's $5 or $10. However, reasonable fees in the case of the municipality of Anchorage is now up to, what, several hundred dollars per building just to have a fire check or an inspection. You can get an electrical inspector over there and it costs $600 and you are forced to pay for it, even though you may be far more experienced and far more knowledgeable than the guy inspecting. So therefore, on section 3 here in the bill, which is looks like all of page 3 and a couple of lines in page 4, seems to me that beginning into the area of onerousness by demanding plan checks in all kinds of buildings that are going to be used for all kinds of things. And so before anybody can build a building, in addition to all the other municipal rigmarole he has to go through, in addition to getting his financing, now he has to come check with the fire marshal's office, and he has to pay whatever the fire marshal says he has to pay. Do you have any comments on this?
Mr. Chairman,
Representative Copeland is present.
In the mid-70s, under the Hammond administration, there was a governor's efficiency review committee that recommended user fees be established for certain state services, and it was in approximately 1978 that we did start charging for reviewing plans for all of new construction and major remodeling. Those fees currently generate about $300,000 annually, ranging from probably a low of $100 up to many thousands, depending on the value of the property. Specifically, Section 3, 3, defines those buildings that we will inspect. And what it does is, in essence, shrinks the scope of the facilities that we're inspecting to those that are high risk, high people volume facilities. The plans, or excuse me, we will not be charging for inspections. And on page 4, line 4, starting there, states that the fees are to be charged for plan checks, as described in the previous section.
What is a plan check? If it's not an inspection, what is a plan check?
Plan check is an inspection on paper.
Further questions by members of the committee?
Mr. Chairman,
Mr. Moore,
you just said you were not going to be conducting inspections, and you said a plan check is an inspection, is that right?
No, sir, I'm sorry. A plan check is a review of the paper documents prior to the construction of the building. And we charge a fee for those, which we feel is reasonable. And once the builder has met our criteria, then of course they have to go to possibly other agencies, even local. Yeah. And We do have a method by which we can defer that responsibility to a local government if they can demonstrate their expertise in performing that review.
And of course, by doing a plan check, you save the builder time and effort by checking his plans rather than having to go on site each and every time. So, seems. Representative Copeland?
Just going through the materials and the hazardous materials really blow with other buildings.
I will advise committee staff. I apologize.
Yeah.
Further questions by members of the committee?
My bill.
hearing none, I've got Mr. Maru.
Yeah, what happens if somebody comes to you for approval and you don't give it, or you do tell them how to reorient his building or redesign his building? And then somebody else, either in the state government or the borough government, city government, says, no, you can't do it that way, it's got to be this way. Now, what happens when a builder has conflicting, contradictory orders here?
Mr. Chairman, the statutes and our regulations provide that a local government may set standards that are more stringent than ours, but nothing less. So normally, and there are certainly sometimes conflicts between the interpretations of the code, and we just work those out between the two agencies.
I have a couple of quick questions that could answer plan check for me. Registered fire department's district, does the district and the registry always exist? I mean, if you have a registered fire department, it always is a district that's marked on a map.
Yes, Mr. Gall, the word registered started out in Title 29. When revenue sharing was first established.
Forgive me, sir, just to save you time, it's not the registry I'm concerned about, it's the word district.
Right.
I just want to know that it refers to a particular piece of real estate that's marked in legal terms.
Yes, it's
registry.
Defined on a certificate of registration that's forwarded to community and regional affairs.
I appreciate that, sir. And secondly, what is the difference between Class B misdemeanor and punishable by 1 year and $1,000?
I'll have to defer to the Attorney General's office.
Thank you. Then I'll ask him that question, and that concludes. Oh, excuse me. On line 18, page 4, what is the implication of the change from? It says here 1146,400 to 1430. Now you've added 484 and 1156,800. What's the implication of that?
Mr. Chairman, I believe that brings our current statutes into line with the new criminal code.
Thank you very much. I have no further questions. Are there other questions by members? Thank you very much, sir, for your time and testimony. Mr. Fisher, would you come forward, sir?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'm James E. Fisher with the Department of Law. I worked on the bill. I would answer the question that you earlier raised with respect to the language on the penalty. The language on the penalty has just been brought into line with the criminal code revision, which became effective in 1980. There's essentially, Mr. Chair, this is a housekeeping bill, and this is a piece of the housekeeping that was done just to bring this language up.
What is the difference between the penalties for a Class B misdemeanor and $1,000 or 1 year?
Well, a Class B misdemeanor would have would be punishable by not more than 90 days or $1,000. A Class A misdemeanor would be punishable by 1 year in jail and.
Thank you, sir.
Higher fine.
Did you have a statement that you wish to make?
I have no further statement that I wish to make. I think policy questions have been all covered by by Fire Marshal Brenton, and as I said, I think essentially this is just a housekeeping bill.
I appreciate that, sir. Mr. Maru?
Yes, I object to your use of the term housekeeping bill. I would like to request, if you can go over again on this extending of the authority, lines 16, 17, and 18 on page 4, why would we want to extend the authority for enforcement so substantially to Title 11, Chapters 46 and 56, apparently.
I do not have that immediately before me as to the
right there,
as to the exact citations. But some of those citations some of those sections were sections that were changed in 1980 and are just now being. This section of the statute is just now being brought up to date.
Mr. Chairman, wouldn't this normally be done by the advisor of the statutes? Why have we gone 6 years and nothing has been done?
Ma'am, Mr. Chair,
I think the revisor of the statutes works for legislative affairs agencies, am I correct? This is a member of the legislature brought this forward, and the Attorney General's office worked on it with them, and it just happened this way. Maybe, I don't think that, forgive me, but I don't think the witness can speak for the revisor of the statute.
I cannot speak for why the revisor of the statute did not.
Further questions? Mr. Copeland? Am I correct? There's no further testimony, no further questions. Do members of the committee wish to discuss the bill? Mr. Maru?
Mr. Chairman.
Excuse me, sir, but before you begin, if I could, I just would like to thank you, Mr. Brunton, for your time, and you too, Mr. Fisher. Thank you very much, John. Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, I've already stated that it seems to me that sections 1 and 2 of the bill are great. They just bring your fire departments up to the municipal departments. Section 6 and 7, certainly there's no problem. However, Section 3 is anything but housekeeping. It extends substantially what the fire marshal is going to be doing, you know, with a plan check. In fact, it institutes a plan check, which doesn't exist, as I understand it, now. So we institute a plan check first in subsection 2 there in line 7. And then we extend that to all kinds of buildings. In fact, it's five different...
Mr. Maru, excuse me, just so that... rather than debating it with you, you might take a closer look at it. I think what it does is it restricts the buildings to which they can apply this inspection to those buildings listed. The original language included a much broader range of buildings, and this is decreasing the number of buildings over which they have authority.
Mr. Chairman, in all due respect,
I may be wrong.
I would like to finish what I was saying.
I apologize. You're absolutely right, sir. Please continue.
As I see here, it extends substantially what is going to be affected. A building used for educational child care purposes for more than 6 children, that's probably every house in Alaska, could at some time be used for babysitting. Babysitting is certainly child care purposes, so therefore every house in Alaska would qualify. And if that doesn't extend it, then I don't know what would extend it.
Well, what it says now is, before this bill was drafted, it says that they can inspect fire and life safety criteria in commercial, industrial, business, institutional, or other public building and buildings used for residential purposes containing 4 or more dwelling units. Now they are saying that they can only inspect those buildings if they meet the following criteria. Whereas before, every building was inspectable that met those words I just stated. Now it's only those buildings of that type which further meet these other criteria. So there's no addition here. There's only limitation of the powers. Yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman, what we had originally was 4 or more dwelling units. That means a 4-plex or larger.
It's still the same. It just says that in addition to that limitation, here are the other limitations. That they are built or to be built, substantially remodeled, etc., that will affect the life safety feature, the building life and safety inspection criteria, and the following types of buildings, and it lists the types of buildings. Those, if you look at them closely, I believe you'll find are subcategories of the above. I may be completely wrong. This is my interpretation. Is that incorrect or correct, sir?
We still have the authority to plan check commercial, industrial, business, institutional, and other public buildings. But we only have the authority to inspect those that we have refined under subsection 3.
Right. So you see, in the past, they could inspect those buildings. Now all they can do is review the plans. I really think, on careful consideration, you may support this.
Further on section 4, reasonable fees, as I've already mentioned, what is a reasonable fee? There's no control on this at all. DPS or the fire marshal's office could come up with a fee of $1,000 or $10, or who knows what. In Anchorage, we're already up in that vicinity. Anchorage City is charging, I'm guessing now, $650 to inspect a house and send an electrical inspector over.
Don't look at me. We don't have inspections out here. We're exempt. Fire marshal does.
Oh, I know, but...
But there was... Mr. Chairman, there was a substantial article, I don't remember exactly when, it seems to me last fall, about the city of Anchorage. to increase their fees from like $25 to $600 to reflect the true cost. And it may have reflected the true cost, but of course it's put the home building industry into certainly a momentary tailspin. And what is a reasonable fee?
Where is this again?
Reasonable fee is on page 4, line 5.
What is it now, the fees?
It's prorated depending on the value of the building.
Why do you need this this language in here if you're already doing it?
The ombudsman called it out, Mr. Chairman, in his report, and I have a copy of that if you'd like.
You might want to submit it for the record, yes. Right. Further comments?
You call.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
You call it because it didn't give you the authority?
No, sir. The ombudsman received a complaint from a citizen that we did not have the authority to charge the fee. During the ombudsman investigation, he felt that, yes, we did have the authority vicariously, but it needed to be specifically set out in statute. And that's what this is trying to do.
By the way, was that complaint?
I don't know.
They weren't restricted to reasonable fees
before. Mr. Maroon, respectfully, I'm not sure that the issues that are really germane to this committee have to do with these volunteer fire departments and so forth. I think that on the issue of fees, there are two more committees coming up, and if you feel an amendment is in order to limit the fees to a particular amount, I would invite you to pursue the matter. I don't feel that this committee is the appropriate place to limit the state's fees for inspections, whereas I think it was essential that we dealt with many of the other points that you raised and other members raised. But certainly, if you wish to propose an amendment, we have a quorum. Thank you, Wes. And it certainly is not out of order. Mr. Copin?
There is an amendment I would like to move the House Bill 514 to the next committee of the referral with individual recommendation.
Discussion? Objections?
So ordered.
Andre, I'm serious. If you want to discuss now or later or in another committee, on this business of the fee level, I've got no problem with it. I'm not competent to say what it should be.
I could discuss it. There doesn't seem to be support in the committee here.
Well, I don't know.
If you had an amendment, I might.
My amendment would be to delete sections 3, 4, and 5.
I think I'd be interested in that.
Well, I don't see that there'd be any problem with conferring with Representative Phillips on this and proposing something to Judiciary if the two of you can reach consensus. And if, you know, support from us is required or solicited, I'm sure it would be forthcoming if you both reach an agreement.
You know, bureaucracies being what they are, the people who are in office now can be very upstanding and upright, and they can be gone next year for one reason or another and be replaced by somebody who is not and sees that thing and says, aha! This is the way I can substantiate my department.
Which is certainly
ups the fees. There's no limit. Plan checks, $5,000.
Legally speaking, the word reasonable does restrict them, and people can go to court and say this is not a reasonable fee.
They have to go to court, which costs thousands and thousands of dollars.
Just, I guess what I want to know is if I may be permitted to officially conclude the meeting. If you think the discussion on the level of fee is necessary and you want to set the groundwork for an amendment to Judiciary, you're welcome to use this opportunity.
In Anchorage, the reason for upping the fees is because they wish to cap the property tax and then make the not just this particular kind of fee, but all fees reflect the cost of the service rendered. And,
but it's a service which is forcible.
They
have to do it, and they have to pay.
The offices do back.
It is not something they voluntarily answer. See, the bill to me.
The components of living in an organized municipality.
The bill to me is two separate bills. Section 3, 4, and 5, in my opinion, should be in a separate bill. The other section, whatever they are, 1, 2, 6, and 7, I think are dandy, nice, little innocuous bill. Section 3, 4, and 5, plenty of water, and get off into things that are not related to registered departments or volunteer fire departments.
Run it by your fire department.
Yes. Okay.
We're going to look at that other bill.
What bill is that?
That's what I have on my calendar, is hazardous waste.
That's been canceled.
Oh, I'm so sorry, and that is my fault. The sponsor is ill, requested that we hold it, and as Kurt said.
And the material.
And there was a little mix-up of the material in which folder. This meeting is adjourned. Thank you, Jenny.
Some of this material.
I thought that was your bill.